Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And, of course, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can also listen to some of our past programs there. We have, our Sunday night programs, which actually it's 2 hours, 10 o'clock till midnight. So if you're not in an area where you hear the 10 o'clock hour, you can check them out online, livewithpastoral.com. Or if you don't usually make it through to midnight, you can also check out what you missed at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also check out our Friday afternoon program. We have a Friday afternoon program for a half an hour every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And you can check that out there as well. And so I tend to have some guests and things and some other subjects and Bible studies on during that time a lot. It's a more difficult time having people call in. So as a consequence, we got a number of those things that are available. Plus, there's some articles that I've written over the years that are there. I try to do an article each month for our church newsletter. The last one up there is The Death of Shame. I've got a new one that's not published up there yet, but it will be shortly called Behold the Fig Tree. And if you go to some of our social media platforms, and I encourage people to go there because I can update them faster than I can update my webpage, because the webpage, it's when I get a chance to do it. We're not a big church. I lead the singing. I do the preaching, and I do the bulletins, and I do the church newsletter. So, it's a matter of whatever I got going on, how long it takes me to get to some of these things. But I appreciate your prayers. It's the only way we're able to keep doing it. But at the same time, if you go there, you'll find a variety of things. And let's see, I just was going to mention too our social media that you can find there. We're on Facebook, we're on MeWe, we're on USA.life. We've got a Telegram channel. If you're on Telegram, if you like Telegram, you can find us Live with Pastor Al there. And we would love to hear from you. And check us out there. Like I said, some of these things I get on there, a number of news items and other things that I find on social media. We're on, like I said, we're on Twitter, well, X now, and just different ones that you can find, Gab, and Cloud Hub, different ones. There's a number of them there. If you go to livewithpastoral.com, I've got some of them listed there. I'm just looking at the Telegram page right now, and there's our article, Behold the Fig Tree, in Mark 11, verse 12 through 21. We see Jesus curse a fruitless fig tree on his way to Jerusalem, and the tree soon dries up and withers away. And so what I look at in the article is, why did Jesus do that? And was there a prophetic significance to it? I believe there was. And you can find that at our social media sites there. Facebook's got it. Telegram's got it. Different ones there. Just look for, just search for Live with Pastor Al, and you should be able to find us. Or go to livewithpastoral.com, and there's a link to a number of our social media sites there as well. So give you that to check out. All right. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. Again, the phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Terry calling from, well, I can't quite say the frozen north in Canada tonight, because I think you're kind of warm up there tonight too, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a little muggy out here.
Oh, my. What a day today. I came into the studio today, and I think it was like 66 degrees. That's Fahrenheit here in the States. I know you use Celsius there in Canada. It's warm. It's warm. You know, they usually figure 72 Fahrenheit is what we consider room temperature. So I used to know what that was in Celsius, but I can't think of it right at the moment. But
yeah, can be a little difficult.
Yeah. What is room temperature in Celsius? You remember?
I'm not sure what the room temperature would be.
For those of us who are Celsiously challenged. That's a mouthful. people need to remember 0 degrees Celsius is freezing point of water. That's 32 Fahrenheit. And what is it? 100 degrees Celsius is the boiling point of water, which is what, 220, I think it is, Fahrenheit, something like that. But so that gives you an idea. So it's interesting comparing the two. But it's comfortable, whatever it is. And so
I think we are probably around 15, 18 maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking for some reason that room temperature in Celsius was like around 20. So something like that.
Right.
Yeah. So any rate, it's a comfortable night out there, widespread area here, the Great Lakes region. You're on the north side of Lake Erie. I'm on the south side of Lake Erie, and we've just got this dome of warmer weather that has come through here after having winter last week. It was cold last week. We had freeze warnings here in northeastern Ohio. I remember seeing twice in the past week, we were down to, one night we were at 28 degrees. The other night, I think we were two nights at 28 degrees Fahrenheit. Again, that's below freezing. And it was chilly. They had frost warnings, freeze warnings in places, but it looks like everything handled it. The cherry trees, apple trees, and things all seem to have handled the freeze relatively well. Hopefully that's behind us now. You know, everybody's getting the urge. They want to get out and get their gardens planted and things like that. So I know people listening in the South are going, what are you talking about? They've had spring for a while. Northeastern Ohio, and I know where you're at in Canada, is kind of similar. You know, you bounce from spring to summer to winter to fall to spring to summer, winter several times this time of year.
Yeah, we're not that far from you.
No. And so this
the
Great Lakes really is an interesting way. I've heard people who are meteorologists say that this is one of the more challenging places in the world to be able to forecast the weather because of the influence of the lakes. And then you have the winds that are coming from the west, you know, off from the Rockies, and then winds coming up from the south off from the Gulf of Mexico, and then winds coming down from the north out of the Arctic regions, and then the lakes themselves affect the weather. And so it's a very complex area for forecasting. So
yeah. I'd like to thank Craig for taking my calls. He sounds like he's
making Kenny. We have Kenny now.
Kenny. Oh,
yeah. He's I keep him happy with East Coast pizza, but tonight I had a piece I could have brought, and I just, you know, confession, you know, and all. I ate it.
Maybe I should look up and open up one here in London.
Well, there you go. I mean, if you want to get into the pizza business, you can give him a call. And let's see where I have it. I know Kenny will recommend it, but I was going to take a look here. I had clicked away from the screen, but if anybody's interested in what we're talking about, it's a pizza shop that's here on the east side of Cleveland, and Gus, the owner, born again Christian, originally from Lebanon, And he's always a blessing to talk to and visit with. And I kid him. I say it takes a Lebanese in America to make a great Italian pizza. And it's his own recipe for the dough, his own recipe for the crust and or for the sauce. And it's always good. And I was going to find that phone number. I had it here right in front of me a minute ago. There it is, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. I don't think they're going to be doing any deliveries to Canada or outside of Ohio, but, you know, he does have a standing offer. If somebody wants to get into the pizza business themselves, if they give him a call at 216-341-9100, ask for Gus. He can help you get set up. Not a franchise, be your own business. And he'd be glad to help you get started. So that's one of our sponsors, East Coast Pizza, there in Garfield Heights, Ohio. So
sounds like he could turn this into a franchise.
Well, yeah. But see, he just wants to help people get started. And he's had some people in the past, I think, that he's actually provided pizza dough and sauce to, and then they just put the pizza together as right. people order it. And they just get an oven set up and they can bake them fresh. But any rate, that's I get an extra plug for East Coast Pizza there tonight. So.
Nancy brought up a couple of chapters that I actually memorized.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 23 and John chapter 14.
Yes, and for those who are just joining us, in the last hour we had a caller, Nancy, who was asking about passages that bring comfort to Christians, born-again Christians, as you're approaching death. And, of course, the 23rd Psalm is filled with a tremendous amount of comfort. And she talked about going through the valley of the shadow of death. And then, of course, John 14, where Jesus promises in his Father's house many mansions, and that he's preparing a place for us there, and that he's going to receive us to be with him. And so we talked about some other passages that also bring comfort.
What do you think about godliness is next? Cleanliness is next to godliness.
Well, yeah, you'll find that over in First Hesitations, I believe it is. that's one of those things where people say that's got to be in the Bible, and I'll confess, I have been preaching the Bible since the late 1980s. I'm going to say 1986, 1987, I think, when I first started preaching. And I've been saved since the 1970s. And I still, every once in a while, convince myself that there's something in the Bible that's not there because you just heard it so much.
Yeah,
like cleanliness is next to godliness, but it's not in the Bible. But
no.
There is a good sentiment there, but yeah, you're that's why I say you're going to find it over in First Hesitations, I think so.
Yeah, but I believe that we as believers should keep our places looking tidy.
Well,
especially when people come over and visit.
I mean, we represent Christ, and I'm not saying you have to, you know, have everything in perfect order all of the time. I mean, sometimes you look more lived in than other times. I can remember when I was younger moving furniture, and some friends of mine and I, when I was in college, we used to move furniture, and I can remember one place. It was a doctor in Akron. I'd be home like from college. I went to college out in Colorado State, but I'd be home from Colorado back here in Ohio, and like during the summer or Christmas break or something like that. And I would help some friends of mine move furniture. And we had this one place that we went to several times, and a guy was a surgeon at one of the hospitals in Akron, Ohio. And I'm telling you, I think the floors in his house were cleaner than the operating room, and they were a little over the top, because when we came in, you know, you're carrying heavy furniture, and we had to kick our shoes off and go across in your stocking feet. And I'm not making this up or exaggerating. either him or his wife, because one would be directing us where to go, but the other one would be on the floor on their hands and knees with paper towels mopping up the prints of our feet, you know, our stocking feet, you know, with perspiration or whatever, any marks that our stocking feet might have been making on the tile floor. She's following us, wiping the floor. And then when we crossed the carpet, literally combing the fibers of the carpet back into place. I'm not exaggerating. This is what they actually did. I can remember many times lowering a piece of furniture into place while they were down on their hands and knees eyeballing to make sure that we put the leg down exactly where the carpet was crushed before. Not one fiber to the left or the right. It had to be exactly in the right spot.
That's carrying it to an extreme.
Yeah. Like I said, it probably was more sterile than the operating room that he performed surgery in. But
I'm a bit of a meat freak. A few years ago, this lady came up to my apartment. She was the owner's wife. Mm-hmm. I forget what the reason was, plumbing problem or something. She came up and she noticed how disorganized I was. And she told me, she said, you know, it's not hard to pick up after yourself and keep things organized. And I took that to heart. And ever since she told me that, that's the way I am now. I keep everything nice and neat and tidy, organized.
Well, I have to confess, I tend to go to the other side. If I had a sign on my desk, it would be, messy desk is a sign of a clean, or what was it? I'm trying to think how that went. I just lost it as I was saying, messy desk, sign of a genius or something like that. But my desk, my filing system is the stuff that's on top is the newer stuff, and the stuff that's underneath is the older stuff. There are different types, but it's just like somebody once said, you can have stuff and be kind of cluttered and everything, but still be clean.
Yeah.
And it's a difference. It's just like, especially in terms of, as a person, when you're going places and going to talk to people, you try to present a clean appearance. And I'm sure all of us have had the experience of perhaps being in a crowded location next to somebody that, shall we say, was not that acquainted with soap and deodorant. And especially in a warm summer day, it can get a little ripe, we should put forward some effort there. And keep in mind, we're representing Christ. And my wife and I recently, we were up at the church, like I said, I tend a little more to the less tidy side of things, shall I say. But we realized that we had to do some cleaning at the church, and we went through the cupboards, and I think we ended up tossing out a couple of big trash bags full of stuff that just had accumulated.
It doesn't take long.
I remember when my wife and I first got married, we lived in this small duplex, and we moved from there into a larger house. And when we moved out, we couldn't believe the stuff that we had accumulated in such a small place, and thought if we had to move back in there, we'd never fit it all back in. How did we do it? You get kind of used to it. And sometimes you just got to take stock and try to go through some things.
Yeah, I was this week. I did a couple of weeks actually. I was cleaning. I cleaned a relative's house, and he was in jail actually. And while he was in there, we cleaned the whole house up. And mm-hmm. I did most of the work. But the reason why I did that is because we could sell the house.
And oh yeah.
When people come in, they're gonna notice the place is clean, get a better price for it or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
And, he got out, and the place is a complete mess again. And that was only a week ago. And yeah. And then I cleaned my sister's house, apartment. I cleaned it because she heard about my brother that I'm good at cleaning. And so I went in there and I cleaned her whole place and everything. And I think she feels better. like people feel better when they're, or most, a lot of people do. Anyway, I do. I feel better when my place, I know my place is neat and tidy and organized.
Mm-hmm.
But it just makes you feel better.
And like I said, different personality types. Sometimes, you know, people are more ordered than others and right. everything. But one thing that I would say is when someone's appearance or things like that interfere with our ability to serve the Lord, now you know you're starting to have a problem.
Right.
So.
And other things lack interest a lot, too, in our lives, like our reading habits, other things like pre-Bene.
I didn't catch the last thing you said. Our reading habits and what?
Other things creep in, like we're
oh, yeah.
a habit. And
yeah.
We can very easily get just organized very easily
yeah.
in our lives. Not only with cleaning, but knowing the Word of God and other things.
Well, and you know, and it is a constant battle, and you know. Cleaning, you know, is the constant battle against entropy, if you think about it. You know, the second law of thermodynamics, from everything's moving from order to disorder. And as we used to joke, you know, the idea, if you don't believe in entropy, just look at a child's room, you know, left to itself, it goes quickly from order to disorder. And there is an example of that. And in a larger picture, taking this back more to the Bible, when we think about it, you know, the disorder and stuff that we see in the world, God's original creation was very orderly.
Right.
Everything was set in its place and had its purpose and all of that. And when sin entered in, then entered in confusion and chaos and disorder and things like that. And so we do see that, and you know, it's a constant battle sometimes to be able to maintain one's spiritual life and walk with the Lord, and to maintain your relationships with others, and maintain the things, the material things that God has given to us. You know, it's not just making sure that your house is in order, but it's making sure that your life is in order, and
right.
and it is a battle.
In our walk,
you know,
with God. And,
yeah.
And we're going to have that battle as long as we are in this flesh.
Oh, absolutely. And that's because we have that sin nature that constantly plagues us. And one day, of course, we'll have a new body, and then that new body has no sin nature. And so everybody will have a messy desk like me then. But no,
and everything in heaven will be perfect.
Well,
there'll be nothing that'll be disorganized.
Well, yeah, and so we understand the perfection and order that's in Christ and in God, and so we will see, I have to be fair. One can take, like I said, about the people I move furniture into their condominium several times. You can take it too far. Let me give you another example gleaned from my furniture moving days. I was moving furniture. We were going out the sidewalk to the front door carrying a large piece of furniture. And as we're going along, the lady was, you know, watching to make sure we went the right place, you know, and directing us where to go, which is understandable. And she had a little boy who was probably, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. And he was out playing. The house, the yard was perfectly manicured, like a golf course practically. You know, no dandelions in it. I personally, anytime I see a yard without dandelions, I'm thinking to myself, how do they live like that? Dandelions are flowers. They're attractive. They make the yard look nice. That's me. But everything was perfect. All the shrubbery was perfectly trimmed. All the flower beds were perfectly maintained, and all the mulch was in the perfect location. And the little boy, being a little boy, was playing, and as he was playing over by where the flower bed was, he moved some of the mulch, and his mother hollered at him and said, "Get away from there. Don't you know Mommy spent a lot of money making that perfect?" Now, that's taking it too far, too, because
that's right.
That little boy should be encouraged to get outside and play and get his hands dirty and to explore and everything like that. And when something like that happens, that's telling that child that the appearance outside is more important than the child is. And that's a shame too. So things can be taken too far.
And that can be vice versa too.
Oh yeah.
Like somebody's place is real, not, you know, too clean. And then, you know, people would come over and they don't want people to come over.
Yeah.
Because of what their way their place looks, right?
Oh, and that's a case too.
And that could be a problem too.
So it's finding that place in the middle there, where, you know, fitting with the person that's there, some people more relaxed and laid back, some people more, you know, everything's got to be in the right nook and cranny. And I remember doing a funeral for somebody one time, and the one son was talking about how his dad was had been a scientist, a research scientist, chemist, and said that he used to cut his own firewood, and he always made sure he labeled each piece of wood, you know, with the date when it was cut, so he could properly rotate it through. And I thought, you know, that's one way to be organized. I'd be looking at thinking, well, how much time did I spend doing that? But and so I guess that'd be another thing I would say. If the time spent trying to organize and make everything just right takes away from the time you should spend with God, I'm going to go with time with God. If yeah, I'm in a time crunch. Because that's more important. So, yeah. So, but like anything, there has to be balance in life, and an understanding that different people have different preferences and all.
Some people need help too.
Yeah. Absolutely true. But on the same hand, I also feel uncomfortable sometimes going to people's houses where I feel afraid that I'm going to mess something up because everything's just so just right, and I'm going to mess something up. If I sit in the wrong spot or move the wrong coaster or coaster in the wrong spot or something, I feel uncomfortable. I like a place that looks lived in, but it's clean and it's comfortable, and you can relax and not have to worry that if I knock something over, somebody's going to get all upset because they spent a lot of money and time making it perfect. So not that I go into houses and knock things over usually, but try not to.
Hopefully I brought up a good subject. I don't know.
That's kind of interesting to think about it, but we'll have to find hesitations there so we can look up that exact verse. Huh? So,
I'll never find it.
That's for those of you who didn't catch what we were saying earlier, Terry had said cleanliness is next to godliness, and we were talking about that, and I said, yeah, it's in First Hesitations, which is one of those things that you just say about something that people thought was in the Bible, but it really is not. Maybe the sentiment's there. But the actual, you know, the actual wording is not. But hey, Terry, that was an interesting subject to bring up. And I have to say, it's probably the most I've spent in the entire time on the radio that I've been on the radio. It's probably the most time I've spent talking about cleaning. But, you know, we do talk about a variety of things, and you've brought up over the years quite a variety of things. So I guess there had to be a time for that, wasn't there? So appreciate that, Terry.
I've been bringing this up for a while now.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate that, Terry. We're going to be taking a break here shortly, so I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future. So you take care and God bless. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're going to be on till midnight tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And when we get into the next half hour, I want to talk about a few things in regards to the protests that are taking place, the anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, anti-Zionist, anti-America protests that are taking place on our college campuses. And I'm going to play a clip from one of the leaders in the protest there at Columbia University and what they've had to say about people like you and me. And so we'll be listening to that in the next half hour. But in the meanwhile, let me encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And You can read some of the articles that are there. I just was talking with one of our callers earlier about things happening during the the book of Revelation there, Revelation chapter 20, 21, where it talks about the new heaven and the new earth and what's going to happen after the Lord returns. And I had pointed out an article that's there dealing with that. And where I was going with this is I was wanting to say, when you go to the webpage, livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you'll see going down the center, I've got some comments and some pictures and different things and links and things that you can download. You go on the side, you'll see on the right-hand side, radio program links and some other things, and then a list, if you scroll down far enough, a list of articles that I have that you can check out. So that's all at livewithpastoral.com, and I encourage you to check that out. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on your radio station. Hope you'll stick with us. And our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, love to hear from you tonight. And check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And just an update, I wanted to remind you that for our Florida listeners there on Faith Talk Tampa, We have been on the last 2 years down there thanks to some generous gifts that actually paid each of the last 2 years in advance, which is how we're able to be on down there. Do pray for us. The individual that provided that income is no longer able to do that. And so we will be on Faith Talk, Lord willing, through the end of May. And pray for us if God wants us to be on and supplies that need to pay for another year. We'll gladly do it. We've enjoyed having our Florida audience with us here for the radio program. Should we not be on after the end of May, let me encourage you to check us out online. Certainly, like I said, our webpage is livewithpastoral.com. We are locally on another Salem station in northeastern Ohio in the Cleveland area, and that is AM 1220 The Word, and you can find that at whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com, and I encourage people even here in the area that if you're having trouble picking us up on the radio because the signal's bad, you can log in to whkwradio.com and click on the Listen Live button, and you can listen to us there. So there's various ways. So if you're in an area, maybe passing through the area and listening and you like the program, but you live somewhere where you can't get it on a regular basis, just check us out online, whkwradio.com, and you can find us Sunday nights from 10 o'clock until midnight and Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 in the afternoon. So let me just encourage you to check us out, whkwradio.com, for that. All right. With that, I want to move into a couple other things that are happening. And we have talked about some of the threats and the things that are out there. I mentioned earlier in the program that tonight is the night that they believe is when the Jewish people were at the bank of the Red Sea when Moses led them out of Egypt on Passover. And this would be when they believe that they made it to the Red Sea and God parted the waters that they could pass over safely. And then the Egyptian army was drowned in the waters when they came after them. And that brings our attention over to what's happening over in Israel, in that part of the world, and we see the conflict there. And a lot of times people forget just what exactly happened over there on October 7th. On October 7th, more Jewish people were killed on that day than any day since the Holocaust in World War II. It was a horrible thing that happened over there. And I was at an event earlier this past week, and the Geauga County Sheriff, one of the local counties here, the Geauga County Sheriff was speaking to a group of pastors and other interested persons. And he had been, along with several of the other area sheriffs, to Washington, D.C., where they watched a 45-minute video of the atrocities that were committed on October 7th. And he said one of the things that they saw was before the event took place, they had people giving instructions, and it wasn't just Hamas. A lot of people forget that it's not just, or they're just not aware, it's not just Hamas that committed these atrocities. Hamas breached the barriers in the wall there and led the way, but common people, not necessarily Hamas members, but certainly people who supported them in spirit, joined in the atrocities, and they were encouraged to do terrible things. And the reason we know this is because many of them had body cams on, and they videoed the atrocities that they were committing. Many of them took their own cell phones, and they took videos of the atrocities that they were committing. One of the things that they would do is the people that they were torturing and killing is they would take pictures of them or video of them, and they would FaceTime a relative. When they got the relative on the phone, they would turn the phone around to show their family member, and then they would have to see these barbarians kill their family member in front of their eyes. And this is some of the thing. This is some of the stuff that they did. And we know this because the cell phone footage is there, because the body camera footage is there, because the people who committed these atrocities have admitted it. Some of them, they were caught and they admitted it under interrogation. Others admitted they were proud. There were people who took pictures and people who did live video streams to family and friends saying, look what I've done. I've just killed a bunch of Jews. And I was telling this to somebody on the next day, which was October 8th. Remember, October 7th was a Saturday. The next day on October 8th, I had somebody say, Pastor, what do you think about what happened? And I said, I think it's horrible. And this individual looked at me and said, oh, I don't think they really did that. I think it's exaggerated. You know, I think that the Israelis did it to themselves. And I looked at that person, I couldn't hardly believe what I was hearing. This is infecting our churches. And this is why I'm bringing some of this up. And we live in dangerous times. We need to be policing ourselves, because what's out there is horrible. And a lot of people are just unaware of the depth of depravity. And it's coming to this country. If you've been watching and the news reports and seeing some of the footage of these college campuses that are taken over by these kids that are brainwashed, you know, I'm sorry. I'm a child of the Cold War. I served in the United States Air Force during the Cold War, and I saw too much during the 1980s in what I did in the Air Force, saw how the Soviet Union, through the KGB and other groups, was funding and controlling the peace groups around the world, funding and controlling the nuclear disarmament groups around the world, funding and controlling the disarmament groups around the world, and there in Europe, and here in the United States. And you could see how they were doing it, and how these people all had some of the same training and the same equipment and the same camping gear when they were camped out in places, the same tents and everything. And I'm seeing it again as I look at these riots and chaos on these college campuses, where somebody is supplying them, and they're putting up tents that are all the same color, and they share all this equipment and stuff that's been given to them. And of course, George Soros is funding a lot of this. I think it's the Rockefeller Fund that's they've come out and said is funding some of this too. And so we see this stuff going on. And my question then is, what happens when some of these people that are on these college campuses? And college comes to an end here in a few weeks, and the campuses close down for the summer, and these people are going home. What are they going to do? Are they going to carry this out to their communities where they're from? I've got an audio clip, and we're going to play here in just a moment, from an individual that was, one of the leaders in Columbia, Columbia University, of one of the anti-Israel encampments there, and has been a very active person. The individual goes by the name of Kamani James, and this guy, the hatred that he has for people like us is just beyond belief. For such a young man to have this amount of hate. And let me just interject here. When you run into somebody that just has a lot of hate for people, that's a red flag. When you see somebody that just has a lot of hate, God hates sin, I hate sin, but God loves a sinner. But there are people out there, they just hate people. And when you hear this kind of hatred, these are the kind of people we need to watch out for. Because when these things start spilling out of the college campuses into your community, my community, what is going to be happening here? Take a listen to what Kamani James had to say about people who support Israel.
Obviously, the United States would never support the murder of Netanyahu, but imagine how many lives would be saved if possibly, right? Because we all know that the replacement will probably, but, you know, philosophically speaking, the death of a maniacal genocidist like Netanyahu in Israel, his death would theoretically mean that many people would live. Zionists, they don't deserve to live comfortably, let alone Zionists don't deserve to live. The same way we're very comfortable accepting that Nazis don't deserve to live, fascists don't deserve to live, racists don't deserve to live, Zionists, they shouldn't live in this world. If we're truly in it, and when I say in it, if we're truly living life and living in this world in order to achieve peace, the existence of Nazis, white supremacists, Zionists, these are all the same people. The existence of them and the projects they have built, i.e. Israel, it's all antithetical to peace. It's all antithetical to peace. And so, yes, I feel very comfortable calling for those people to die. And with that being said, Kamani is signed out. See you in New York real soon.
Now think about that, what he just said. He's comfortable, very comfortable, in calling for the death of people that support Israel. You know, the definition of the word Zionist, it's basically, it's a term for a person who believes that there should be a Jewish state. Now think about that. If you support the state of Israel, the nation of Israel, you are at the heart a Zionist. If you believe there should be a Jewish homeland in the area where the Jewish people lived, I have to interject this. I heard one of the stupidest things on a local radio station this past week. A guy was going on about how I'm a military veteran, you know, and I've been all over the world, and I know a thing or two because I'm a veteran. Well, I'm a veteran, and I've been in different parts of the world, and I know a thing or two. But just because you're a veteran and you've been in different parts of the world and know a thing or two doesn't mean everything you say is right and can't be questioned. And he went on to tell the host that he was talking to. This is a local program in the Akron area. And he said, you know, Abraham moved to the Middle East there in the area of what we call Israel today about 3,000 years ago. And so the Jewish people have only been there since then. But what about the people who lived there before when they got there? And those people are the Palestinians. They're the Arabs. And when I heard him say that, I thought, this is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. This guy knows nothing. Arabs didn't exist before Abraham. Arabs are descendants of Abraham. One of the big reasons for the conflict in the Middle East stems from the fact that Arabs trace their ancestry to Ishmael, the oldest son of Abraham, through Sarah's handmaid Hagar, and the Jewish people trace their ancestry to Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah. And if I have time, I might get into some of that, but essentially there's a conflict there. Now, Isaac was the son of promise, and there's reasons why the Jewish people were the inheritors, but other than that, the fact that you have the history of the Bible showing the Jewish people living there, the people that were there before Abraham and his descendants moved into the Middle East, specifically Isaac and then Isaac's son Jacob, and then Jacob had his 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. And when they lived in the land, they had, remember, they went into Egypt for a time, and then we were talking earlier about how the Jewish people believe that today marks the day that when Moses led the Jewish people out of Egypt, that today on that Passover, that first Passover, that this was the night that they saw the Red Sea parted and they crossed the Red Sea. And God protected them from the Egyptians. But eventually, when they went into the land, They were commanded to destroy the people in the land, not because they were to be genocidal maniacs, but because God had pronounced judgment on the Canaanites for their wickedness, their vile practices and everything. And just as God cast judgment on the pre-flood world and destroyed it, he used Israel as his tool to drive and destroy the inhabitants of the land. Well, they were Canaanites, and as a people, they're pretty much all gone. They have no connection to the Arab people. The Arab people descend from Abraham. They're a Semitic people. The Canaanites descended from not Shem, like Abraham and the Arabs and the Jews did, but from Ham. A brother of Shem. And so it's a completely different type of people. But regardless of that, we see that God had given the land to the Jewish people. And so with this conflict there, if you support the biblical view of Israel and the fact that there should be a Jewish homeland there where God gave it to them and promised to return them to the land in the scriptures, then you are a Zionist. And you don't even have to necessarily believe all the Bible if you just simply believe that an ancient people that their origins is in the Middle East ought to have a homeland in the Middle East where their origins are. And if you support that, you are a Zionist. And people like this Kamani James believe that you are not fit to walk the earth. Now, when these protests first started out, people were protesting and saying, oh, end the destruction in Gaza, stop the war, and stop the killing of women and children in Gaza. And it's progressed from that to college campuses where they're chanting death to America. Saw another one where somebody was saying, you need to be prepared to be martyrs, just like over in the Middle East, where you have young Muslim men who were brainwashed and convinced that if they blow themselves up killing the infidels, the Jews, that they will become instantly granted access to paradise. They don't have to pass go. They don't have to be vetted because they died as a martyr to the cause. They instantly get to go to paradise, and their families, rather than be upset and wail and weep, they cheer and they shout for joy, and they give cake and candy to their family and friends, as celebrating the fact that their loved one is now in paradise. And not only are they in paradise, but they paved the way that a certain number of their family and friends can also make it directly to paradise as well. Well, I'm sorry, their paradise is going to be a rude awakening when they close their eyes in death in this world and they open their eyes in hell being in torment, as the Bible describes it. That's where they're going to wind up. And for somebody, a privileged individual like this this individual there at Columbia, to call for the death of people that support Israel, you know, this is what we're facing. We need to pray for our nation. What is going to happen when this summer arrives and people like this are sent back? You know, what was that last line that they said? You know, going to New York, yeah, wait till I get to New York or something to that effect. What is this person planning? I don't know. If I was in law enforcement, I'd be watching for this person. And speaking of that, we certainly need to pray for our people in law enforcement that are going up against these people. They're trying not to start an incident. They're trying hard to maintain order, but they're really in a difficult place. You know, you've got these craven cowards in our universities that are afraid to crack down on these kids. Yeah, I mean, why don't they just say, listen, you were in violation of our school's policies and rules. You got 1 hour to clean up this mess and get back to your classes and your dorms, or we're going to arrest you and expel you. Now, they're afraid to do that. In fact, in many cases, the professors are out there with them, encouraging them, sometimes even giving them extra credit for participating. Boy, shades of the Cold War protests. But you know what? Same spirit that motivated them during the Cold War, the communists, is the same spirit that's motivating these anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-Bible individuals. It's the same spirit. It's the mystery of iniquity that's already working in the world in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's the devil working, trying to sow disorder and chaos in the world around us. And he's working desperately to bring the world to confusion and chaos to introduce an individual that the Bible refers to as the Antichrist, the beast, the son of perdition, the man of sin, who will rule over the world in a worldwide government that'll crack down on any type of dissent, eventually will claim himself to be God in the flesh. You know, there's a lot in the Bible. We only have seconds left in the program, I think, but read your Bible. There's some things online at livewithpastoral.com talking about some of these things. Let me encourage you to check that out. But don't be afraid. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus talks about the events of the coming tribulation, and then he makes a tremendous statement. He says, when you see these things begin to happen, meaning the foreshadowing of these events, not necessarily the events themselves, but the foreshadowing of them, when you see these things begin to happen, he says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. But you know what? That's a promise to those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're going to be able to look up, because as he says there, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's a promise to believers. You know, I mentioned that I had a conversation earlier with a caller about comforting things for a believer that's facing death. Well, this is a comforting thing for believers that are looking at the chaos that's descending on the world around us. Look up. Lift up your heads. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have that precious hope, that promise. That's why over in the little book of Titus, Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, about what he calls our blessed hope. The blessed hope. The return of Christ to catch us out of this world before the coming events of the seven-year tribulation period. I know I've thrown a lot of stuff out here toward the at the end of the program, but these are things that we'll probably pick up in future programs, Lord willing, and we've talked about some of them in the past. Check us out live at PastorAl.com. I've written about some of these things as well, and I hope you'll keep listening. Keep us in your prayers. Keep each other in prayer. I don't anticipate us having a calm summer. This is like almost like 2020, the riots that took place across our country that summer, and I fear it could be worse. Well, pray for one another, pray for this country, and most importantly, look up. Lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. Thanks for listening tonight. God bless, and have a great week.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.